Morning, everyone. There's a lot of talk recently, and just had more then, about movement and about God just gently urging us, pushing us on in his faithfulness. And we're going to be getting more of that this morning. But before I start, I'll just tell us a little story from this morning that's made me relax. Sometimes as a preacher, it's easier to relax than at other times, and it's a strange dynamic. I remember speaking to Les a little while ago, and he said, you know, you must prepare, and you might not think there's much prep goes into this, but there is. And you prepare, and then in this moment, you must, as hard as you possibly can, try and relax and allow the Holy Spirit to move and work. And sometimes that's easier said than done, but this morning I'm just relaxed. And I don't know why, sometimes you feel more like you're just riding a bit of a wave. Sometimes you feel like you've got a pickaxe and you've got to just hack away. But I'm very relaxed, and I think there's a little moment this morning. I was up preparing, and I go into our little snug. And Sunday mornings are not popular in our house with my children because I'm not often around, or I'm buried in the snug, or I'm doing something else. And so they try and catch me. And this morning, Lucy was just, I don't know what had happened, just got up. I poked my head out to go to the loo or something. And I was just about to head back into the snug for the rest of the morning. And she said, Daddy, from the kitchen. I said, yeah, what's wrong? She said, before you go back in, can I have one more big hug? And in that, you just think, oh. You say, well, of course. And so you make the most of it. But I just, in that moment, I was just very aware of the presence of God. And I just thought that, or any emotion, any feeling that a father has in those moments where his children say, can I have something? Can you show me some more? God is so willing. And this, I think that's why I just relaxed this morning, because I just thought, I will say these things that I've written down, and the rest of it is in God's hands, because he's far more willing in that moment of me saying, oh, of course, let's have a cuddle. If God hears his children, say, Lord, can I see something else? Will you show me more of your love? Will you take me on from where I am? His response is so much more than we can even imagine that it is. And he just says, oh, of course. Of course you can. Of course I will. So yeah, it's wonderful, and I'm just relaxed. God has been speaking to us recently. At length, I think, and it's, I don't know about you, but we must listen. I mean, Jeff's just had this, we must come when we gather together, when we go away, we must be listening, and this is God that we come to meet with. He's so willing, and we must listen. And he's been speaking to us about forward movement, about not stopping, not standing still, not staying where we are, about discovering. I spoke a while ago, and I just had this picture of the land. And you look out of the window, and there's just land for us to explore and to discover in God. And we've just had a word now about, again, where's my neck? Where do I move? But the worst thing we can do is stop where we are. And Matt actually recapped brilliantly at the first altogether prayer meeting we had here recently. Matt just sort of summarized what God has been speaking to us in recent days, and he put it very well. He said we are, and he's opened the meeting with this, I'm just reiterating it, repeating it. He said we're leaving the territory of the familiar. That's what we must do, isn't it? The familiar, comfort, they are enemies to us. We mustn't settle down. We are to be spiritual nomads, people who travel and do not stop exploring. God is taking us not into the best we have known, but new places of greater expanse and enlargement. That's what God wants to do. That's what we must seek to achieve. And we love practical application. So the question is, how do we do that? We're hearing God speak to us, I hope. How do we do what God wants us to achieve? How do we do it? So that's what we're going to answer this morning. And I've been thinking about this for a while. And sometimes you just get things that just stick in your head in preparing things. And there's a few of them. But one of them, and this was from the very start, and I thought, yeah, this is it. There's a wonderful woman of God called Isabel Kuhn. I don't know if you've heard of her. an incredible Canadian missionary to the Lisu people in China and Thailand, and you can read her books. They're incredible. But she has a book, and it's her testimony book, and it's called By Searching. And this has just been in my head all the way. How do we do this? Johnny, I'm hearing God. He's encouraging me to get off, pack up the tent where I've been for so long, and let's go and explore something else. What do? We do it by searching, by something in us, this thought of activity, of movement, of not being settled down and comfortable and familiar, but by searching for him. And again, the response of God when he sees souls searching for him is so strong to meet with them. So let's open the word. Let's read from Acts chapter 17, and this is verses 22 to 28. So Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." And I love this little passage in Acts. It's one of my favorites. I've preached from it before. But you have here, just in this little speech of Paul, a wonderful overview of the Christian worldview and the biblical worldview that we stand for. And we start with this. They have their inscription to the God unknown. And he just makes this first point. God who made the world and everything in it. God exists and is very real. It's the first thing he's making the point of here. This is the Christian worldview. God exists and is very real. We were speaking in our house group recently, and I thought, you know, sometimes when you strip it all back, you just need something to cling on to if you're being bombarded with doubt or whatever. And I said to our guys, I said, the thing I always just fall back on in myself in terms of God is real, God exists, is the knowledge that I am not alone. And it's very profound, this, because I knew what it was to be alone. And now I know more than anything, more than when you feel lost and all is just a mess sometimes and it's crazy, I can always just think, I am not alone. I know I'm not. I am not. I was, and I remember what that's like, but now I'm not alone. God is real. He exists. He made the world, and everything we see has his fingerprints on it. We sang it at the beginning, first song, the earth filled with his glory. Everything we see, we look at, is made by God. This is our worldview. And not only that, he rules as Lord of heaven and of this earth. God is in control. God is in charge. No one else. This is our worldview. Everyone in the entire planet is dependent on God, whether or not they know it or like it. He gave to all mankind life and breath and everything. God's done that. We depend on him, therefore. And why are we here? We are here to find him, to seek him, it says. And it says this is one of the most lovely ways of putting it. It says that they should seek God. That's why we've been put here. God allocated our time, our boundaries, where we're going to live. And in that time of living, we're told we should seek God. That's why we're here. And perhaps feel their way toward him. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a very good way of thinking about it. It's how I felt when I first started feeling my way towards God. When someone said, Johnny, what about this? And it's a very good way of putting it. It's very poetic, but you think, all right, well, what do you do? And you start putting out, you feel your way towards him. And then the Bible makes this point that he's not very far from us. And you set off and you start thinking, I wonder, Lord, and there he is. And you find him. He's not far from each one of us. He is, in fact, incredibly close. And I think we can fall into the trap of feeling like God is away in heaven and far and distant. And he's not, like I was this morning, so just instantly turned by the voice of my child. So is God, and he's so close to us, waiting, listening to our heart, seeing what is inside of us, that we would feel our way toward him. And as we do, by searching this heart state, God is drawing us, saying, yeah, it's this way. And that's what I believe he's saying to us and doing so much at the moment, in his faithfulness, in his gentleness, saying to us, you've been long enough at this mountain. Let's move on. Come on. And it's gentle, and he draws us, and we feel our way toward him, and he loves it. And he meets us by searching. We find him. Of course, he hasn't made it difficult. And the more I think about this statement, the more I read it, the older I get, I just think, what an incredible moment in the history of the world when Jesus stood and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will find God the Father except through me. What a statement. This is what, you know, Jesus stood and spoke these words, and they are true. He exists. He is real. This is true. I am the way. He's not made it hard. When we begin to feel our way towards Jesus, we find the Father. He's not very far away from us. Everything we see and handle is made by God, and he is not far. There is a wonderful quote by Eugene Peterson, and he says, to eyes that see, every bush is a burning bush. And this is on my chalkboard at the moment, and Rach looked at it and went, what does that mean? And she's not very poetic, you see. But I love it, because it's true, and this is what I'm wanting us to get to in these things. God is not far. By searching, we find him. To eyes that see, in a moment with one of your kids in your kitchen, God's presence is there. To eyes that see, the earth is filled with his glory. His presence is everywhere, if we can see it. To eyes that see, every bush is a burning bush. Moments of God's presence are not rare. They should not be. If we can see them, if we can sense him, if we are listening, if we are looking, if we are searching, he will show and reveal himself so readily. And we will know his presence in the smallest detail every day. To eyes that see, every bush is a burning bush. And my prayer is that God would touch all of our eyes this morning, and me, on for more. Like Matt said, if this is all we've got, what was it? If all we have is all we have, this is not, I'm not finished here. I'm not stopping. I want to know more of God. This time next year, I want to have traveled. I want to have better eyes that see. I've seen him. He was there. He was in this conversation. He was in that moment there. He's everywhere. And I want the eyes to see it, to see the presence of God. I don't know if you ever think like this or just recap, but I was thinking, where do I find him? And I could have written a huge list. But when we wake in the morning, I don't know about you, but sometimes, not all the time, sometimes just in that quiet patch, if there's no children crying, when you're just coming round, I'm just aware of his presence, just in the morning, and you think, Lord, and you just are with him, and he loves us. And in those moments, we just enjoy his love, and we just wake, and we know his eyes upon us, and you think, oh, he is here. Sometimes when you just climb into your car to drive to work, you're aware, he's with me. I'm not alone. Sometimes in the loudest, busiest moments of your day, you can turn and just know him in stillness and quiet and think, oh, God is with me. His presence is with me. And often, I think in the most ordinary of conversations that we have with people, we just realize God is in this conversation. And it's wonderful. I was at a wedding of a good friend of mine this time last week, and it was on the Friday. And this happened to me twice. You know, you're at a wedding. There's a lot of real lads at this wedding, and they had all nicknamed me Rev. And if a few of them thought I was a reverend, and so would speak to me as if that was my job, and I had to try and break it to them that I wasn't an actual reverend. But in one of those conversations I had late in the night, and this guy approached me and started chatting to me, and I started just being able to share with him a little bit about, listen, I'm not a real reverend, that's not my job, but this is, and then he said, but why? And we just had a little moment, ordinary conversation in a loud, noisy setting. And just looking at him, I thought, God's in this conversation. And it caught him. Something caught him. And like we heard Matt prophesy to us, in a moment, in one moment in someone's life, you can say something or the presence of God can arrive and it can change the course of that person's life forever. It's amazing, isn't it? You just think to the awareness of these things, to eyes that see every bush is a burning bush, having a conversation and being aware, God is here. Another time, it was even more amazing, really, just a woman that I haven't seen for years, that used to be married to a very good friend of ours, and they divorced, and it was a mess. And I saw her and thought, oh, that's so-and-so, and it was, you know, you just think, wow, I haven't seen them in a long time. And then at one point, she just came for me, and I don't know her that well, but ish. And she just made a beeline for me, and as soon as she came, something about her was just like this, which is wide open. And she was so kind and so warm towards me. And immediately, again, I just looked into her eyes, and I thought, Lord, this is, God's presence is here. And we had the most amazing conversation, and her life is a mess. But she just, you know, when people just open up to you for no apparent reason, and we just talked. And again, I didn't know what words to say to her, but I knew I didn't really even have to speak. God was touching her, and she knew it, and I knew it. And I just embraced her, and it was great. God's presence, just, he's everywhere. He's so keen to move, to show himself. And we must be looking, searching. We're only ever a moment away from our lives being completely changed or touched by God. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 6. So this is Paul, obviously, and he says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? And so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So, here again, we have a wonderful insight into a Christian life. And again, it's this thought of, by searching. Why are we searching? And this is just a principle, seemingly, that God seems to operate like this. He wants us to search. These things we've just read about here, where are we? But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. It's hidden. There's something that we have to search and find out. Otherwise, like it says, everyone would just see. Everyone would just have eyes and see the wisdom of God, but we don't. Eye hasn't seen it, nor ear heard it. We are to search, and by searching, we find the hidden things of God, things that can't be seen with our natural eye. And these things we see, the eyes that we need to be able to see every bush as a burning bush, we don't just get them. We have to search and ask God and search for Him. And we're told that by revelation, the Spirit reveals these things to us. It's the only way, when by searching, Lord, show me more, teach me about your word, show me this, reveal. By searching, we find. He's not far from us, but these things are hidden. And we must search, and we must, this, verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. That's what we need. I can't just pull out my own eyes and give me better spiritual sight, but God can. And He will, and He wants to. He wants to touch all of our eyes as we are active and we're searching and we're moving and open and submitted to Him. He will reveal things through His Spirit about God by searching. We only have eyes that see through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And there can be, we're told here, no mixture between the spirit of the world and the spirit that God has given us of Himself. The spirit of the world can't see these things or comprehend the thoughts of God, but we have received the Spirit of God that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And I love this. Again, the way it's written, there's such a sense, it's marked with grace. These things are freely given to us. There is no sense of works about this, of I will search then. I will search and I will find because I am serious about this. There's no sense of that. And God says, no, no, no. The world, the spirit of the world, it can't see. But we, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, when He touches our eyes and we see and He reveals things to us, we see and we understand the things that God has freely given to us. But we find them by searching. But not out of intensity. There is an ease about it. He's not far. We don't have to search for long before He shows us something of Himself, before He reveals something. In fact, diagonally about that way, just past Waitrose, not long ago, I was doing this. And just in myself, I knew I wanted to find something, and I was at a bit of a dead end in myself about something. And I had a day off the next day, and I was saying to the Lord, tomorrow, I am going to seek you. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go away and I'm going to get somewhere. And I was being all serious. And in the moment, while I was talking, and I love it when God ignores me, He just ignore all of that and just touched me there and then. And I thought, you can't do it now. I haven't done anything. I haven't put any graft in. But He touched me and I knew a complete change just walking along this road. This is what it's like. This is how He moves. Wonderful, isn't it? In a way, my personality wants the buzz of intensity. I've been there, and sometimes it still is a little a pull to me. And it turned out I didn't have a day off the next day anyway, because Matt rang me up and said, let's go and do this. So I wouldn't have even had the chance. But God, He's not far. He's not far from us at any point, but wherever He sees one of us saying, Lord, this, move me on from here. It's done. It's done. He pours it out on us when He sees our heart and He hears us. Amazing. And then we have this in verse 13. This is only Paul could write this. He said, this wisdom, this is how we impart it. He says, not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. That's how Paul imparts it. I don't know how to do that necessarily, but he says it's not through human wisdom, but the Spirit Himself teaches us. And He interprets things to us of a spiritual nature. The more we read, and again, sometimes you can find yourself, you can catch yourself. Someone will share something and you think, I'm not sure. Or there's doubt, or there's cynicism. And we need the Holy Spirit that says, actually, this is true. And this is what that means. And for you, this means this. And He interprets spiritual truth. God made the world. It didn't just happen like this or like that. The earth was populated through one man. So this is our worldview. And again, with just natural eyes, these things are difficult. But when we come and we search and we find in us the Spirit revealing, interpreting spiritual truth, saying, that's right. That's right. Pray for this because this situation. And you see something and you think, oh, it looked like that, but I think I'm going to pray along this line because I'm seeing something different. Different eyes, eyes of faith, not just natural sight. By searching. And you have this principle, like I said, if you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. He is not far. Jesus spoke in parables, not so that people didn't understand what he was saying, but rather so that the ears of the people listening would think, what did he mean? What did that mean? And to be inquisitive and to search. That's why he spoke in parables, not to confuse people, but to lead people and say, what is this? What do you think that meant? Come and find out. Ask me more questions. Come and be inquisitive. And by searching, we find him. Let me read something else to us. This is from Colossians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here it is again. And I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Very well again in the ESV. In God, this mystery of Christ. This was the mystery hidden for ages and generations, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we must find them and know them spiritually revealed to us. Otherwise, if we don't, and all we have is natural eyesight, someone will come along with a plausible argument, won't they, and say, what about this, though? It makes a lot more sense. And you'll say, yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's a very good point you've just made. But when you have known and God has interpreted spiritual truth to you and revealed things to you and you've seen it, it won't shake you. And that is Paul's prayer here for these. All treasures, the riches of full assurance, of understanding, we're to search for them. They are in God. And by searching, we find them, by movement, by not just settling down and using our natural eyes to see things. We can't be shaken by plausible arguments. The other phrase that's been in my mind now was this, by searching and then this. And this came really to prophets in the Old Testament. And I looked it up, and God spoke this to Jeremiah, to Amos, to Zechariah, and other points phrased it in different ways. But expressly to these three prophets, tasked with delivering the word of God to their generation, God said to them at various times, Jeremiah, Johnny, Tim, what do you see? What do you see? It's a great question to answer, isn't it? And God asks it, I think, of all of us at the moment. We're stirred. I want to move. Yeah, Lord, this, oh, all right, oh, I'm hearing you. Well, what do you see? What do you see? Matt's just had 2 weeks up in the mountains. It's going to be full of spiritual revelation now. But if you said to Matt or John or Andy, these guys, what do you see? This isn't it. Not that this is bad. I love us. I think we're great. But this isn't it. This is not it. They're not just looking here and just at the things around us and all the small problems that their phones get bombarded with. Or they're not just looking at those things. You said to Matt, what do you see? He'll give you a big zoomed out picture. He would. And that's what these guys did. But it's a good question to ask, and God's been saying it to me, Johnny, what do you see? What does it look like? What does the world according to you look like at the moment? And I realize sometimes I can get trapped, or I can be sidetracked by plausible arguments, or doubt, or something can creep in, and I need to get on the old map and zoom out and see things how God sees them with those eyes again that I so desperately want. Eyes that see every bush as a burning bush, and I see God's glory everywhere. I don't just see natural surroundings and people conducting themselves just as normal, natural people, but we are spiritual. And everything we do, I want eyes to see him and to hear him in every situation. What do you see? And what I like about that as well is that in each case, Jeremiah, Amos, Zechariah, they all have in their mind's eye a response. And they say, well, I see this. And God's asking them because he's put something in their spiritual mind's eye. And they say, I see this, Lord. And he says, that's right. That's right. I've put that there. Now go and speak, or I am now going to bring to pass everything that I'm speaking to you. That's what I'm teaching you through this, through what you're seeing. And so the things that we see, the things that God puts in our hearts, and we can be sometimes reticent to think, I wonder, is that too big? That prayer, or that thing that I don't like to touch because it's too difficult. And God says, well, what do you see? And sometimes, and we can say, well, actually, I see this. I see this. And God says, that's I put that there. That's why it's there. That's right. That's what's going to happen. In our prayer meeting that we had, I was just stuck on this thought of our eyes recently. And eyes that see, what do we see? Eyes of faith that see things as God sees them, not as just a natural man. And, you know, we look around this morning, there's a lot of people away, but this isn't it. This isn't what I see. I don't see this as the ongoing picture. Not that this is bad, but this is where we are, but we are moving. I see more of the lost being saved. That was someone was prayed about that. I see that. It must happen. The more we lift Jesus' name, the more we go into the world and communicate his love, the lost will be saved. That's what I see. I see the broken and the sick being healed and lives put back together more and more and more, increasingly. I see our times of worship being times that we've never had before. Not that this, you know, you hear what I'm saying. God has so much more for us to corporately come into and to know his presence more and more. I love our worship, but it's not it. That's not what I see. If God says to me, what do you see? What does your church look like? It's funny in a way. It doesn't look like this. I'm seeing far, far beyond this. But we are on a journey, but we must keep moving. I see our children growing up and knowing God and worshipping him. It's wonderful. I don't just see what we see now. And, you know, you can answer that question yourself. It's a great thing to do. God says to us, what do you see? What do you see? Tell me. Just further back in Colossians, says this back in chapter 1. This is Paul speaking in at the end of chapter 1. He says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery, hidden for all ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, we have this thing, the mystery of the world, that the world doesn't see. And it's been hidden. It was hidden for ages and generations. And now, through Jesus, it's been revealed. It has been revealed. God has shown his hand through the Gospels in the most incredibly powerful way, and yet I think people still say, if only God would show himself, if only God would show me this, or if only God would do this. God isn't here. Where is he? I can't find him. He won't answer me. And you look back, it wasn't long ago that this was all hidden, and now God has revealed it again. Jesus standing saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. Just because time has passed, that moment when everything that was hidden, everything that was a mystery became unhidden and was revealed. Ever since then, I have no doubt that all the powers and forces of darkness have thrown everything that they have to hide it again. It was revealed. It was made known. It was hidden, but then it was made obvious through Jesus. And since then, everything has just been thrown at it to hide it, to cover it up. And now people say, well, maybe Jesus was this, but maybe it's like this. Maybe the world came to be like this, and there's plausible arguments everywhere. But he has revealed he has shown himself. Natural understanding serves us in no way. And we can so easily look in all the wrong places. I was thinking about Elijah in that amazing story in the cave. And of course, God has in the past shown himself in the fire of the bush and in other ways. But in this moment, Elijah, God passes before him at the entrance of the cave. And we all know the story. God wasn't in the mighty wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. And God wasn't in the fire, but in the still small voice, in the quiet. That's where God was. And we look for him in all the wrong places sometimes. We get caught up in thinking, well, if I go to Cherish, or I'll go to a big conference, he'll be there. He'll be in that big thing, or, you know, at some big thing or some big event, I'll go to that. But we look in all the wrong places when really, just in the ordinary, every day, his presence is with us and that quiet voice is speaking. I read recently the account of Jesus healing Jairus' daughter. It's an amazing story, isn't it? She's dead. The girl's dead. And Jesus takes three of his disciples and he goes in, and I would love to have seen this. He just says to her, "Little lamb, arise." And she wakes from the dead. Amazing power in gentleness. No shouting, no screaming, no big gestures. Jesus, in his gentle power, just went in and said, "Little lamb, arise." And she woke from the dead. And no doubt just blew the disciples away. She was dead. She was dead. But he was in the quietness. There was power in his gentleness. In Les's little devotional, he says, "The human soul needs gentleness and quietness. A human soul does not open to loudness and brashness." And it's so true. Our souls open to God because of his gentleness and because of his quietness. We look in all the wrong places sometimes when he's just there in the quiet place, in the most ordinary setting, walking down a road, sitting in an armchair. He's in there, not in the big things necessarily. By searching, we find him. We are aware of him. And we're listening for him. This is how we make new discoveries. This is what Jeff spoke to us at the beginning as well. I wonder how we listen when we come to church. It's important. This is not just because I'm preaching, so I think, listen now. It's important. We're coming to hear God, and there is an element of hearing where we're searching for him, and we're listening so keenly to what he says. And everyone who has preached will know and tell you, the more you listen keenly, desperate, hungry, searching for God, the better I get. Because it pulls faith out of the preacher, and you hear it and you see it in the eyes of those sat here, and you think, yeah, this guy, this girl is hungry for God, and you preach. So if this is bad, it's your fault. Think about that. So if you want me to get better, listen better. It's your problem. Only joking. But it's true. How do we listen? How? Again, there is such an element of just familiarity and what we're used to, and we can come. And essentially, it's just lack of movement, lack of hunger. There is no searching. We come, our ears are tingled, we have a cup of coffee and we go home. But that's not what I see. That's not what I want. And God is gently, over this last month or so, in his faithfulness, just trying to edge us on and keep us moving. Let's listen, and we'll find him. We'll be made aware of him. We will see him in places we're not used to seeing him, and we will be made sharp. Again, little things that we pick up on. This was John, actually, at the end of last week's meeting, just stood up and just had this word of hindrance. And, you know, what hinders eyes that see every bush as a burning bush? What hinders movement and progression and finding new discoveries in God? Sin hinders that. It's a very easy answer. Sin clogs up our ears and blurs our vision. And this is why Paul tells us not to get drunk. Because when you get drunk, it just deadens everything. So Paul says, don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in doing that, it's the opposite. Being drunk just deadens everything. Being filled with the Spirit makes everything heightened, and you see things as they truly are, and you see God, and you see his presence. That's why Paul says that. But sin just makes everything dead and dull, and it makes our ears hard of hearing, and we can't see very much. And so it's a very easy place to start if that's how you feel. And you just feel like, I see very little, I hear very little, all of this is hard, and then that's a very easy place for you to, again, by searching, by that moment where a child reaches out, God is there to just say, well, it's this. Let's deal with this. And then you can unplug your ears. But again, here you need submission, because by searching, God might point something out and say, this is the problem. This whole thing that you're allowing to happen is causing you to not be able to see or hear anything. And at that point, you need to be able to say, well, then I'll give it away. Then I'll stop doing that. Or whatever it takes. It's a very easy place to come to, is to say, Lord, there, show me. I'm searching. I do want more, but it's hard. And I do feel blind, and I do feel deaf. God will show, he's not far. We've heard that this morning. He's not far. I'll show you very quickly. Johnny, this is the problem. I was on the train back recently from Newcastle, and at length, the Lord spoke to me. And I think this is Oswald Chambers said this. This is not in my notes. This is just coming out of my head. Oswald Chambers, I think, said, if you've never heard Jesus Christ speak a hard word to you, you've never heard him speak anything to you, or something like that. And at length, on the train journey, on the way back, essentially, God gave me a dressing down about an element of my heart that I just had not seen. And just this. In the same way that if one of my kids does something really awful, they get a serious sit down. That happened. But I needed it. And God's not afraid or shy to say, Johnny, this is awful. And I was more than happy to recognize that and just say, whatever I can do, Lord, I want no part of that in my heart. And it's great. He reveals spiritual truths to us about ourselves, about everything we see around us. And I'm going to finish now with a final verse. And this is like a whole nother sermon. But I mentioned last time I spoke about how the Lord had really been speaking to me, or opening my eyes a little, about how a soul operates. And one of the things that is true about a human soul, and again, this was the picture that I painted, is you can't get out of your own boundaries except for salvation in Jesus. You can't walk on new land. You can't find it because you're trapped in your own sinful landscape. But what you can do is you can allow things into that landscape. And you can't get out of it, but you can allow things into it. And just the way we conduct ourselves, things that we allow into our lives, things that we embrace, and things that we might not even think were bad, they can and do have dramatic effects on our ability to see, to hear, to know God. And have you got that last verse up, Lewis? This is Psalm 119. It says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. But the old school, the AV on this, and this is what I just want to finish on this. It says, the entrance of your word. This is how most of the older school will know it. The entrance of your word brings light. And there's a sense that when we allow things into us, they enter into us. You can, you know, get into the New Testament, read this. The things that we see, the things that we allow in, the things that we give permission into our life, into our soul, they have a dramatic effect on us. And what we need, the answer to that, is the entrance of God into our lives. And the entrance of God's word brings light. Where we couldn't see before, and where we've been blinded by sin and things that have got into our life that shouldn't have done, the entrance of God's word brings light, that lamp that we were talking about, where suddenly you can see the next step and you can take it. And it's, again, if you find yourself blind and deaf and mute and all the rest of it, you need God's word. You need to search for him, and his word will bring light, and it will give understanding to the simple. It's been the same message all the way through. To eyes that see, every bush is a burning bush. I want to know more of that. I want to be someone who is active, who has my bag packed on my back, searching for more. God is speaking. I don't want to miss out I want to discover him in new ways, discover more of his grace, more of his love, more of his embrace as a father with a child. And by searching, we'll find he's not far from each one of us. It's wonderful, isn't it? So may we all have our eyes touched by Jesus, and may all of us know ongoing revelation by the Spirit of God about spiritual things, about everything. His love, his mercy. Amen.